Welcome to Christ Today, and oh how much God loves us, and we suppose that God will give us the blessings that we ask Him for. This is just a natural event that we do. We pray for the provisions of God, and we ask Him, but there's many things to consider, and He considers everything and gives us what is right for us and the people around us. So we say, yes, Lord, and thank you for all the goodness that we have. And the goodness can be the weather in due seasons, the sun and the rain, or nowadays the snow. And we have the things going on which we look at in the world. Certainly the weather, but also there is violence and war. Well, I think I'll talk about that a little later. But we do have the things going on, and certainly we say, thank you, Lord, for all the good things that we have. And there are so many. We look at the basic things, and nothing is more important than God loving us and us loving God back. You see, God does love us so very, very much, and He gives us wonderful blessings. And we might think that they're ordinary and normal, and they are. And sometimes they're just amazing and wonderful things in addition to the normal life that we have. Well, last week I was listening to how somebody talked about how much God loves us. And the way that he was talking about God's love was implying that therefore God would not have bad things happen to us and would not have bad things happen to his people and not have bad things happen to America. Well, I thought about that after a while, and I thought, well, we do have things happen to us that are consequences of our choices. Of course, I thought about the children that we have. We have children and we love them, but our children make decisions and our children get consequences. Sometimes they are natural consequences of their choices. Sometimes they are physical consequences. Sometimes moral and spiritual consequences as well. Now, because we live on this physical planet Earth, and there is gravity, we know that there are consequences to living on Earth. We know there are sticks and stones around, and we know that there can be consequences that we just don't see right away. And there are consequences for everything. When we love God, doesn't mean he doesn't love us, but we get consequences for the decisions that we make. And there are consequences for both obedience and disobedience to God. And for instance, when we are told specifically to do something, and then we, or not to do something, yeah, and then we do it anyway, yes, there's going to be consequences. We know that for children, when we tell a child don't do something and they do, there are going to be consequences. So we have a set of rules by which we live by. And yes, you can say the Ten Commandments, and certainly that is true. And we think about what the consequences are of our actions, and we get to think about, are we going to do them or not? What's going to happen? Of course we have consequences. But do we think about the consequences in a moral or spiritual way? I mean, for that, I like to think about Matthew 22:36, where that is called the Great Commandment, and it talks about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So that verse in Scripture, let me think. Well, it reminds me of Matthew 5:28 that says, I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart is already committed adultery with her. Now, what's the parallel there? The parallel is that all these things begin in our mind, and we have either obedience or our own will in our mind, and that begins the consequences of what goes on around us. You see, in our thinking, in the thoughts that we have, there is a reality and there are consequences that are brought about because our thoughts turn to actions often enough. So when we think about how much we love God and love our neighbor, well, we have a certain continuation of that thought that has consequences. But if we think about certain behavior that would be unloving or uncompassionate for our neighbor or for God or the world around us, then we have the consequences. You know that there are people in the world that are Christian and some that are not at all Christian. And we know from verses in the Bible that God has consequences. Sometimes the consequences are undesirable, but there they are. The consequences are going to happen whether you are a Christ follower or a person in the world, or somebody who even doesn't believe in any specific belief. They just think about what they want at the moment. And then we know that there will be consequences. So God knows, yes, our actions, but he also knows our heart and our thoughts that made those actions. So that's because our God is an all-knowing God. He has all wisdom and understanding. Yeah, and I'm sure you've heard somebody say, when I meet God, I'm going to ask him or I'm going to tell him. And I thought, oh, those poor people. Can you imagine how they think so well of themselves to ask a kind of question like that to God? God who has perfection in his wisdom, in his knowledge, in his judgment. And God has perfect everything and perfect consequences for us when our actions are not proper or godly. So, yes, I get concerned for a lot of things around me. I get concerned for the people around me. I get concerned for our nation and for our world. There are all these things around us that are going to get consequences. Now, I try to grasp some of the concepts in the Bible, like God's holiness. I think of that, and I think of the consequences for not being holy or for just plain living in the world. And it's not that I have the answers, but I think about it and I wonder about what will happen, how things will go. Because we are in the world and we have the things happen around us, and when we try to figure out what we can do to avoid the difficulties that are going to go on in the world, well, you know that you want to pay attention to what God is doing or thinking or telling you to do. And he tells us what to do by his word. Scripture tells us. And there are some who would say, well, I didn't know God's law, and I didn't know that. And there are others who would say, that's not important, because ignorance of the law is no excuse. And that would mean ignorance of man's law or God's law. Are what you doing, is that reasonable? Is that caring about other people? Or is that endangering other people? See, God also says in Romans 2:10, 10:12 or something. But in Romans 2, he says that he has written his law, his basic laws, on everyone's heart. So, we know that. We know what is right and wrong based upon what God has written on our heart. And if we are a Bible reader, even if we've only read a little bit of the Bible, we still get a pretty good idea of what is right and what is wrong, what God says is right, and what God says is wrong. So we cannot really claim ignorance of God's laws, just like we could not claim ignorance of traffic law or a law that applies to living in society. No, we really would not have any real excuse. And that's the way it would be for God's laws, because they are written on our heart and we understand right and wrong, especially because we have a Christian heritage in this nation, and with the right and wrong things that we are told about, certainly in church, but other places as well. So we get to use our common sense, our common decency, and our common compassion, and that will tell us pretty well what we ought to be doing and what we ought to not be doing. So you can say that that's God's law. You can also say that our legal system of laws have its roots in God's law. Oh, and our legal system also has its legal roots in English common law. And if you trace that back, you can find the English common law began with the Magna Carta, when British or English nobles forced the King of England to sign the Magna Carta, which gave the nobles common rights, which were known and expected, but they were not law. And the King of England was imposing his own will upon the English nobles in contrary to the English tradition. And so when that happened, the English nobles rebelled against the king, and they forced him to sign the Magna Carta, which gave common rights to the English nobles. And then, after a few hundred years, the English legal system expanded those common rights more and more. The rights expanded to regular English people, and that was the development of English law and English common law. And then America adopted many of England's legal laws and systems, and so our legal and common law heritage goes back to England in the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries. And we can learn a lot just by looking. Our founding fathers certainly did look into all of that English law. And I think of, well, right now I'm thinking of Benjamin Franklin, and he was asked, right after the legal system was formed in America and the political system, he was asked, what form of government had American representatives adopted? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Now today, we wonder about that. We reflect on Benjamin Franklin's words, a republic if you can keep it. Now, a few months ago, there were questions in our current political situation about if Biden had put America under the control of the United Nations and giving the World Health Organizations through the United Nations, they are attached and a part of the group. Anyway, Biden had signed a declaration giving that World Health Organization the right to declare an emergency due to a pandemic. That was Executive Order 13985. So, we American people are kind of left to wonder, is this an executive order, or is it a law that we, the American people, are bound to because the president decided that it was going to be law? Congress did not approve it. See, that's the thing. A law has to be approved by Congress, passed and approved by Congress. Otherwise, it's not a law. So here I just said it was an executive order. They could also call them executive directives, but it's the same thing by a slightly different name. That Executive Order 13985 was put into effect because Biden signed it. Now, are we going to be bound by it? What do you say, American people? Are you going to take your vaccine? Are you going to wear your mask? Are you going to be locked into your homes when you are commanded to be, just like they did in China? Are you going to be obedient, like a sheep would be? Are you a sheep? Or are you going to be, oh, let's say a sheepdog? I don't know the answer to that, but I wonder about what our nation is going to do when they're told, come on, do your part. Now, who would say that? Sounds like a guy in the head of the executive office. Yes, are we going to obey? I don't know. I wonder about it. We sure were obedient when we were told that we could only visit the stores between these certain hours and we had to wear a mask. And what about the people who got the vaccine injection? And you know we can't talk about that because the mass media or social media will delete our conversation and will delete our account if we do. Yes, and we are the freest nation on earth. Congratulations, America. Are you going to have freedom, or are you going to obey the dictates of a private company, which the law says, oh, we didn't make it mandatory. It was the private companies who decided. Well, there is something that is called an expectation of social order. No, that's not what it's called, but I can't remember right now what it is. However, there is something that is required of a public location, and it is an expectation of public, allowing things to happen in public. And so that's what the stores are held to, except now they are saying that the private companies are able to make their own rules. That has never been the case. Public accommodation, that's what it was. So are we going to allow the stores to make their own rules? And are we going to be good, obedient shoppers? How about good American citizens? Well, I just mean it's a question we all have to decide. We have to decide if we support our government. Are we going to support the wars that are going on? We always have in the past, but we've agreed with them. Are you agreeing to send your sons and your daughters to the new wars that are going on to fight and die? What, for a war against Russia, a war against China, a war against who knows who? Because our politicians say you have to fight your sons and your daughters. Now, I say daughters, too, because this is becoming a matter of equality. If the boys are going to get drafted, so are the girls. And are we willing to sacrifice our sons and daughters, children and grandchildren, in a war in a foreign land? Well, we have a lot of things to decide, and there are things that our government is doing that is affecting we, the people. We, the innocent people, we didn't declare the war. We didn't agree to fight on it. We didn't agree to have $100 billion of our tax money sent to another country to support a war. But it's been done, and the politicians are just saying, well, that's the way it is. Have you forgot about the inequality that goes on at other places in the world? Have you forgotten about the Christians who are slaughtered in Indonesia? Have you forgotten about the Uyghurs, who are Muslims, that are slaughtered in China? Have you forgotten about the gulags in Russia? Have you forgotten about the people that are improperly imprisoned, anyway, according to American standards? Well, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of injustice. What are we going to stand up for? Are we going to stand up for the Christians that are martyred around the world? Thousands of Christians are martyred around the world. Should we go to war for that? Well, who are we going to send to fight our wars? Do we want our children and our grandchildren, sons and daughters, to die in a foreign land. Well, our system is not perfect, but it is our system, and we do have something to say in what happens. How's that going for you? Is our system doing what you want it to do? Well, you're just one small voice, and our politicians require all the citizens to have a voice. And that is the beauty of the vote for them, because they can say, well, our voters do not agree on the issues, and so we make the best decisions that we know. That's what the politicians do. They are protected by the citizens who have a right to vote. Very interesting, isn't it? But we did not vote to send $100 billion to Ukraine. We did not vote to support their social security system and the border wall for Ukraine. So we've got things going on here that are kind of going against the will of the people. And what are we going to do about it? Oh, I don't mean I have the answer. I'm not sure, but I do know that our politicians are not representing us perfectly. That is for sure. So we get our politicians to have irregular support for all sorts of things, for all sorts of ungodly principles. Can we vote them out? Or are the Dominion voting machines making an impact where our votes are not making any real difference? You know, the voting machines is something that is an issue, and it has been shown to be manipulated in other countries. It hasn't been shown to be manipulated in the United States. But if it's the same makers and the same general machines, it sure shows it can be, and their rhythms, the parameters which the machines count the votes are secret. They have not been allowed to be examined by any independent auditors. So there's questions, and we try to figure things out using the understanding we have, using the wisdom that we have to know the nature of human beings and the nature of God and the nature of government. What can we do about the politics that are being put into effect? The policies also that are being put into effect. What are we supporting? Are we supporting traditional American principles? It seems not. And how do we change things? Oh, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. But I know that there's a lot of talk about the people being unsatisfied, and that the people of the United States will become so unsatisfied that they will have a revolution. See, that's been the talk among politicians for a few years now. It might happen. It might not happen. I certainly don't know, but there are things going on which, oh no, we don't understand. And we don't agree with. But they're going on. So look at I think those executive orders are really something. You know, Biden had another executive order, which was to study how to put digital currency into effect. Executive Order 14067. That directed the United States to have a plan to enact digital currency. And apparently, that was issued or ordered to the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is a private agency, not a part of the American government. But the order was issued to the Treasury and other governmental entities about how to enact digital currency. So are you ready to have everything that you do tracked and watched? Because that's what the effect is. That is what the effect will be, to have everything known by some entity. And I can only guess what that entity is. We don't know, but you can be sure that it will be government agencies. Which ones? Good questions. It could be the FBI, which'll watch every single purchase you make. It could be any government agency. And that's the thing that we are dealing now, especially with the executive order that Biden signed to pursue how digital currency can be applied within the United States of America. It's going to be a plan, and it's pretty sure to occur. I know in the past, a couple of years ago, I've talked about how there is a central bank digital currency in China and in India, where they stopped issuing currency. There is no more Chinese currency or Indian currency of any way of larger amounts. I mean, there are $20 bills. Nope, no 50s, no 100s, because that would encourage secret activity and therefore illegal activity and therefore what? Drugs and prostitution? Yeah. Or buying anything. You can't buy lemonade at a lemonade stand. Well, yes, you can, because they allowed the small bills, the ones and fives, to be freely distributed, but not 20s and 50s and 100s. So there are things going on which we can only guess what the results will be. But a part of the results are that everything that you do will be discoverable, will be tracked, will be watched. And if the government says you're not allowed to buy Levi's, then everything will be tracked. Oh, I said Levi's, but I mean it could be anything. Whatever you think of, you could not be allowed to buy what? Tupperware or metal pots or ammunition, for instance. I mean, just what are you not allowed to buy? Nobody can buy a machete anymore. Now, these are just examples. I'm pulling them out of the thin air. I don't know what would be or would not be tracked or watched or not allowed. That does remind me of China, though. In the province where the Uyghur Muslims were, there were bombs that were made with sugar. And so the Chinese government forbid the purchase of sugar in quantities over, I think it was 2 pounds. I think that's what it was. But nobody could buy sugar more than 2 pounds worth. And every sugar purchase was tracked and watched over by the government of China in the area that the Uyghurs were living, because they were doing bad activities with the sugar. So it can affect any of us. You know, we could turn gasoline into a problem. And then what? Nobody would be allowed to buy more than 2 gallons of gasoline, and the government would track all of it, just like they do in China. Every purchase is watched and examined. So could it happen in America? Of course it could. And this with what the executive order that Biden put into a place could be a part of it, might not. But the potential is there. And here we are, the freest nation on earth. And there is a question whether we have freedom or not, with every agency looking at our personal lives and what we purchase, what we do, what our social activity is. Are you free in the freest nation on earth? I presume you are, but it certainly is something which might need to be examined in the future as the governmental system seeks to track everything about each and every one of us, each and every dollar that gets spent. Well, if we don't have the anonymous part of dollars, everything will be done on a card, just like it is in India and China. India and China both have populations of 1.3 billion people, and America's population is a bit over 300 million. Those countries have something like five times more population each. And they track the individual citizens. So it sounds pretty easy if an agency were to decide to track every single American. Is that what we are living for? Is that what our forefathers would have said? We want freedom for our citizens. Well, our forefathers expected the American citizen to have a Christian orientation so that morality was preserved in the country based on a Christian viewpoint. Oh, a lot of people don't agree with that, but study history. It's as clear as anything to me. Of course, who are you going to study? The modern historians of American history are quite diverse in their opinions, and I certainly disagree with most of them. When I say modern, I mean in the last, let's say, 100 or most of 100 years. History has changed, and this is a part of the effort to make America into a new country so that we lose our original morality and our original plans with the government and understandings of what government is, what the citizens do, and what freedom is all about. That's something we get to figure out as we go along, because right now, look at what's going on with the banks being in distress, with the dangers of failure of banks and the banking system, and even the central bank. You know, with the things going on with banking, we could see a digital currency happen very quickly. Now, all we need is another executive order, and the government could do anything. Why, there's already plans to have digital central bank currency put into effect by the year 2025. And that lines up with the United Nations plans to have a system in place by the year 2025. Are they on schedule? Kinda yes, kinda no. But the idea is that the central banks are all going to enforce a system of digital currency. And that will make it so that everything we do will be known and understood by some central agency. Will it be our U.S. government or the United Nations? There are several agencies in the United Nations that are planning to have everything tracked for every citizen of the world. A part of that is to have a digital health passport. And a part of the passport is to be tied with their own bank account. This is what the system is developing. A part of that system will be Okay, this is my opinion. Here goes with my opinion part. As the economy fails, as money fails, people will call upon government to pay an amount, whether you call it Social Security or welfare or food assistance or something. It just seems like the plan is to put into place benefits that everyone can get if they get their government-issued card. And their government-issued card will allow them to get government benefits. That is all tied in with the United Nations program. Or should I say programs, plural. Because that's going on. It, even though it's not a plan that we can say, hey, look, this is plan number A, B, C, D. This is a plan that has been talked about by the elite for decades. And now it is getting the basic steps to be put into place. As I said, it is in. There's a system very much like this in place in China and India, and they both have populations of 1.3 billion people each. So our little 300 million population would easily fit into that parameter of getting us involved in digital currency. Ever so easy. So we can wonder, are we going to go along with it? Are we going to accept central bank digital currency? If not, how are we even going to oppose it? Are you going to stay outside of the system? Well, we sure had trouble staying outside the stores when COVID hit and we had to wear a mask or be vaccinated. Not too many people could do that, but a few did. How are we going to retain our freedom if we can't even retain our freedom to stay unvaccinated or not wear a mask? Well, there was even such a great big question about if masks are efficient. And the studies show that masks did, 1%? To stop the spread of COVID, maybe 2%. I mean, these are studies that were done in universities and health care systems. The masks were not effective. And in fact, neither. You'll have to look into these statistics yourself, but there is plenty of evidence to say that the vaccine is not effective at all. So you just listen. It takes a little bit to do to listen to the people who have a variety of opinions. But are you going to be an educated person to know a little bit about all these things, or are you going to just do what you're told like a good citizen? Well, that's something you get to figure out. Are you going to say yes, sir, and how high do you want me to jump? Or are you going to say, is this really a good idea? Do I really want to go into that system and have my children and grandchildren fight a war in a foreign land and die in a foreign country where they will be buried just like we buried thousands of soldiers in France? Oh boy, here I go. Now the point is we still have an opportunity to voice our opinions. And that is a good idea to do to our politicians who are already doing what they think is the best instead of what we want to do. I do like that Margaret Thatcher quote that says socialism begins to fail because the socialists run out of other people's money. Oh, that's not quite the quote, but it was something like that, a thought that that the socialists use other people's money to do what they want to have done. And that is the heart of socialism. And that is what is also going on in the United States of America. Our politicians are making decisions and using taxpayer money to carry out their own ideas. And it gets to be some pretty expensive things that our politicians, our representatives, are telling us that we have to do. Well, it's all going to be interesting, our future. There is going to be a struggle between who gets the power and who doesn't. There may even be a struggle over the basic things of life, like do you get food? Do you get electricity and natural gas or even gasoline? Do you get those things, or do you need to have a special social standing or political standing to get your supplies? Because we all know the top politicians, they're not hurting. They're getting all the gasoline and all the electricity that we want, that they want. But what will happen to us? Are we going to get the electricity, the natural gas that we want? As natural wood stoves have been banned and natural gas stoves are a subject of being banned. Well, we got questions to figure out, and let's talk to the people who can make the difference, who are our representatives. Yes, you can call them the politicians, and they are, but they are also our representatives, which seem to forget about the opinions and votes that the people have. Instead, they are doing what makes sense to them. And this is something, I don't know how long our country is going to be able to survive with representatives that do what the representatives think is best instead of what the citizens believe is best. What the citizens want has always been a hallmark of American political systems, but it has been called into question in these last years. So let us be careful about who we support as a representative. I think of politicians as being different from representatives, because a representative, the basis of who they are in their position, comes from representing the people. But a politician has his basis of power in manipulating the political system to do what their people or their party or even they themselves want. That is political trade-offs. So I prefer to use the word representatives for the people who we vote for. Now, do be careful of all those people, because there's so many that just are in the position because they want to have power over other people. And that's so much of what government is about, having the power. Now, this is not limited to politicians at all. I mean, there are people who want power over other people everywhere. There are bosses like that who will tell their employees exactly what they can and cannot do. There's even pastors who do that. Oh, I remember hearing stories about the people in a church who would say, well, I have to ask pastor about that. Well, okay, that's nothing wrong with asking another opinion. But are you depending on the pastor to make a decision for you? Well, that's probably not what you want to do. And I do know that there are pastors who really have a role that they play with people. And I don't know what their hearts is. I don't know what even their actions are about, but I know there's some really caring pastors, and some of them will bring food to hungry people in their parish, or their church, I should say, and some of those pastors will also mow their lawn for the elderly people in their church. Yes, I say, wow, that's really nice. But I just mean you have to be trying to figure things out so that you don't get caught in a position where you are doing the will of another person. So you have to be careful, and so does that other person. God will have consequences for all the things that are going on. And it's not that I know what they are. I just know that God has consequences. You can read about them in the Bible. Some of them are very clear, and some of them you can just kind of try to figure out because they show themselves in some big or small way, and you say, oh, God worked on that one. He made something happen. So answers? Nope, I don't have a real answer, but I know that we all need to be cautious and careful. So that's what I would urge you to do. Be cautious and be careful, because we make determinations and then we have the effects of our decisions. So be careful and seek God. Seek the biblical counsel, because the Bible tells us so many stories, and we get understanding from Bible things that go on in the Bible and Bible verses. Oh, there's so many of them that we can apply as we read the Bible over and over. We get to have the verses come to our mind when we can. And yeah, I guess right now with all the things going on in the world, I think of Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21. They all talk about what will happen before the end of the age. And there are things that are going on all around us, signs of the end of the age all around us. And that just means that we would do well to be thoughtful about what we can be doing in a way that is completely faithful to God, Jesus, as we see the end of the age approaching. It is not far off. The end of the age could be soon, or it could be in our natural lifetime. And we sure don't know, because one of the things about the Bible is it seems like the things take longer to happen than we expect. We can look at the stories, the examples of people in the Bible, or we can look at our own lives and say, oh, I saw that coming, but I didn't realize it would take 3 years or 10 years for it to happen. The consequences of our decisions, that too. All those things can take a lot longer to actually occur than we expect. But we can be sure that there will be effects of our decision upon our life and the life of people around us. And tribulation is certainly going to come. Is it going to be a little tribulation, a big tribulation? And eventually, one day, it will be the great tribulation. And it's not that we really can tell exactly what it's going to be, but we sure do know the direction that things are going. So what direction are you going to take after looking after history? Yes, Christian history. Yes, Hebrew history. Yes, worldly history. All these things, we see examples of what has happened and how the things will affect us. Let's live a godly life, and we pray as we go along. We pray to Jesus. I think of Luke 22:42, which says, where Jesus is praying to the Father and saying, not my will, Lord, but thine. Are we able to pray that? Lord God, not my will, but thine. Because of the things going on, our knowledge and understanding is not perfect, and we don't have full knowledge of the effect of our decisions and our actions, but We know that we've been surprised about things that have happened with our words and our actions. But God is not surprised. He knows about these things. So can we pray for God's guidance and God's understanding so that he can help us to make decisions and give us understanding, give us knowledge, give us Bible examples? And therefore, we will be comfortable in what decisions that we make, and therefore, what the decisions will do in a physical and a mental, moral sense. So we pray for God's guidance. Certainly we do. And we always want to pray and ask God for him to help us to make our decisions and our actions. After all, we do belong to him, right? We are Christ followers. Therefore, let us follow him. Let us ask him to guide our ways and direct the things that we do. Let us ask God, ask Jesus, to give us the understanding that we need to guide and direct us in a way that is godly and suits his plan and his purpose. Well, I want to remind you that you can listen to any past episode of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And of course, you can reach me through the mail, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Well, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. God bless you. I hope you pray for so many people. There are many people who need prayers, and I thank you for the prayers that you have prayed for me, too. Well, God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.